Morning, Sadi Dalit, I'm an Aleph in Ein Yaakov Bavar on page Kuchav Aleph, paragraph Ayin Bet. V'tachat kvodo yekad yekod kikod esh. And in place of his honor or glory, there will be a burning of a, I think the article translated, of a blazing fire. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, tachat kvodo v'lo kvodo mamash. Rabbi Yochanan says, in place of his honor, but not his honor. He had the Rabbi Yochanan kari lehu lemane mechabdutai. Mechabdutai. As Rabbi Yochanan called his clothing, his honor. According to Rabbi Yochanan, means that, according to Rashi, that their bodies were burnt, but not their clothing. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Tachat kvodo mamash kisrifat bnei Aaron, ma'al alan srifat neshama v'guf kayam, just as by bnei Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, their neshamos were burnt, but their bodies remained untouched. Afkan srifat neshama v'guf kayam. So too, by the soldiers of Sancheirev, their bodies, their neshamos were burnt, and their bodies were untouched. Whereas according to Yochanan, their bodies were burnt, and their clothes were untouched. Today we'll talk about clothes. Clothing. Rabbi Yochanan calls his clothing mechabdutai, that which gives me honor. Mara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, it's actually a parallel Gemara, almost parallel Gemara, but a slightly different girsa. It says, brings the same pasuk. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, v'tachat kvodo v'lo kvodo mamash. Rabbi Yochanan l'tamei, this is consistent for Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, that Rabbi Yochanan kari lamane mechabdutai, that Rabbi Yochanan would call his clothing my honor. Rabbi Elazar omer, v'tachat kvodo mamash. Rabbi Elazar says, slightly different wording, that Tachat kvodo means literally tachat kvodo. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani amar tachat kvodo kesirvat bnei Aaron. And Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani in the Gemara in Shabbos says what Rabbi Elazar says in our Gemara here. And Rabbi Elazar says something different. Maral explains. Maral in Masechet Shabbos there, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Bet, says that Rabbi Elazar appears to hold that everything was burnt, their bodies and their clothing. That's all called kvodo. So there are three opinions. According to Rabbi Yochanan, their bodies were burnt, but not their clothing. According to Rabbi Elazar, their bodies and their clothing were burnt. According to Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani, neither their bodies nor their clothing were burnt, only the neshama. That's the moral. In how the Maral of Masechet Shabbos understands that Gemara.
We were talking about burnt. It's also going to figure out on like a physical plane how their bodies could be burnt, but not the clothes.
Obviously, it would be miraculous. Obviously, it would be miraculous. I do remember as a child hearing. I don't know if this really exists or not. I never cared enough to look into it. But I remember as a child hearing that the next step after a hydrogen bomb was a neutron bomb, which kills people and doesn't destroy property. So I don't know if this is really such a thing or not. Okay, so there is. So that's it. Hashem dropped a neutron bomb on them, and it killed the people and didn't touch their clothing. Obviously, it's a miracle. Obviously,
it's
a miracle.
The same question we asked on the other part is also.
Howie's question wasn't how did it happen. Howie's question was, they're dead. They're dead. What does it mean to say the neshamos were burnt, as opposed to just saying their neshamos left them, or their neshamos froze?
Right.
What did it look like, and how do you know? That was Harry's question. And again, we don't have an answer. We're not going to
see what it means that a person is burned and his clothes aren't, okay. Or vice versa. That you could see.
All right, we're not let.
You couldn't see that.
No,
if that
I can't imagine.
You can't imagine how it would happen. Howie says, "I understand what the results would look like." That's the point.
Okay, so
okay. That's not our subject for today. So let's go on.
Okay.
Let's go on. Rav Volba in Mamare Mei Ratzon, page Shinpei Aleph, notes that there's a parallel between the body and clothing. Both of them are things that cover something up. The clothing covers up the body. The body covers up the neshama. Not that the neshama is physical. And by the way, a week or two ago, when we were talking about Gan Eden and Gehenom, I said that the Ramban says that Gan Eden and Gehenom are physical places, and that Gehenom is, they're just very subtle, very finite. I gave an analogy like particles of an atom that we know they exist, but we can't see them, but they are physical. And I might have implied that the Ramban says that the neshama is physical also. Ramban says neshama is not physical, but it can be affected by physical by physical things like this fire of Gehenna that the Ramban's talking about. So exactly what that means also, we can't picture. But in any event, the body covers up the neshama, and the clothes cover up the body. And both of them have a, call it a duality to them, in the sense that on the one hand, we think of the guf, Chazal talk about and Svarim talk about the body being something negative, which covers up the neshama and inhibits it from achieving its potential. So it's a struggle between the body and the neshama. But ironically, without the body, the neshama would have nothing to do, because what the neshama's role is to sanctify the body and to do mitzvos. The mitzvos sanctify and elevate the body. So the body is itself the vehicle for the neshama to accomplish and elevate. So it's a paradox a little bit. Same thing with clothing. On the one hand, we think of clothing as they're just something that we use to, you know, be tzniastik and cover ourselves where we need to be covered. But on the other hand, you see here that Rabbi Yochanan refers to clothing as his honor. Somehow clothing is what brings a person honor. Rav Avigdor Miller, Torus Avigdor, Volume 1, page Lamed Vav, discusses this idea at greater length and explains what Rabbi Yochanan means, that clothing are his honor. You know, Adam Rishon, Adam and Chava, before the Chait, they had no clothing. Because Adam, they lo yit boshashu, they were not ashamed. Since there was no Yetzirah as we know it, there was no shame in walking around without clothing. After the sin, Adam realized, now things are different. I need to cover up. It says they made belts. So they covered up their private parts. He points out that the word I don't see that this particular point in Torah Avigdor, the Sefer on Tefillah called Lefanav Na'avod, brings, I thought, in the name of Rabbi Avigdor Miller, that the word Levush is short for Lo Bush, no shame. By wearing clothing, we cover up our shame. Then Hashem came along and made garments for Adam and Chava. What was the difference between the garments that Adam and Chava made and the clothing that Hashem made for them? So Rav Miller says that Adam made clothing sort of to cover up the negative, to just cover up their private parts and not have shame. Hashem made full garments for them to teach that clothing have more than this purpose of avoiding the negative. Clothing also elevates a person and brings a person honor. Why is that? Because clothing distinguishes us from all other creatures. You don't see other animals unless dogs and horses whose owners dress them up, but you don't see other animals walking around in clothing. Cats also wear clothing? Okay, no, I've never seen a cat with clothing, but thank you. But that's only when their owners dress them up. The only creature that independently puts on clothing is a human being. And so clothing reminds us that we are different and we are special. And the purpose of clothing is specifically to accomplish that. So he asks a question. He says, I can understand that we need clothing to remind us that we're special. But why did Adam Rishon need it? True, he had sinned and he had fallen to a lower level, but he knew who he was. He knew that an hour ago he was Adam Rishon, who Mar says he could see. I don't know if it's meant literally, but he could see from one end of the world to the other. He knew everything. He was a different kind of being in some way. So now he sinned. He was on a lower level, but presumably he still had the memory of how he was an hour ago. So why did he need the clothing? So Rav Miller says that Torah is teaching us that even the greatest person is capable of forgetting who he is and thinking that he is an animal. In the Sefer Lefanav Na'avod, they bring a story in the name of Rav Zecharia Geli. Rav Zecharia Geli was the rabbi of the Breuer's community in New York, passed away maybe 2 years ago, I think. Maybe less than 2 years ago even. So he tells a story, and it seems like he might have been living in London at the time, not sure. But he said he had a student, a girl, who was snu'ah, with good midos, and absolutely brilliant, and very deep thinker. All she wanted was to grow in her service of Hashem, to marry a Talmid Chacham, to live a spiritual life. He says, of the thousands of students that I taught, thousands of girls that I taught over the years, she was unique. And then her father died. And he said, before her father died, he called me, Rabbi Geli, in, and he said, I'm a billionaire. I don't know who this was. I don't know if he's literally a billionaire. He said, I'm a billionaire. My plan is to, his daughter was his only child, apparently. Plan was to leave most of his money to tzedakah and only to leave a little bit, $250 million, to his daughter. It was very timely in light of the huge lottery this week. And he died. So the girl came into Rabbi Geli and she said, what do I do now? Suddenly I have $250 million. What do I do now? So he said to her, you're 18 or 19 years old. Put the money somewhere where you can't touch it until you're 35. And she didn't listen. He said, leave yourself enough to live on and put the rest of it away where you cannot touch it at all. On a CD or something, I have no idea, somewhere where you can't touch it until you're 35 years old. And it says she didn't listen to him, and she kept her money and started living a high life, and eventually, says, married a guy, got into drugs, ended up in jail, completely from being the best student among thousands of girls that he taught. She was by far the best, the most religious, the most spiritual, the highest, the one with the highest aspirations. That's how she ended up. The point being, as Rav Miller says, that even the greatest person can forget sometimes who he is and what his goals are. So even Adam Rishon needed these clothing, even though an hour ago he was Adam Rishon, he knew who he was, but he needed this reminder. So he continues and quotes Rabbi Yochanan from our Gemara and from Gemara and Shabbos, who Rabbi Yochanan called his clothing my honor. Now, honor is a bad thing. You're supposed to run away from honor. So that would suggest a person should always dress shabbily, so he won't have honor. He says that it doesn't mean Rabbi Yochanan wasn't interested in how the clothes made him look to other people. He was interested in how the clothes, what the clothes told him about himself. Rabbi Yochanan said, my clothes remind me of my honor. I dress the way I dress to remind myself who I am. I remember talking once to a high school, a yeshiva high school principal, and I asked him, what's the big deal? How the kids dress? Why do you care how the kids dress? And he said this idea, essentially, that by dressing like a Ben Torah, dressing the way a person, a respectable person, should dress, it makes a person respectable. And this is an idea. The Silas Sharm talks about this. We have an expression, the clothes make the man. Not exactly the way the secular world means that expression. But in fact, the clothes make the man. The clothes turn you into who you are. If you dress like you're a certain person, then that's who you'll be. And same thing we have other mitzvos that involve actions, because actions lead to thoughts and actions lead to feelings. And that's a fundamental concept of the Torah. That's how we impact ourselves by doing extraneous things that then lead to internal things. So the purpose of clothing is not to show other people who I am, it's to show myself who I am. He continues, Rav Miller, and says that the clothing is an expression of Tzelem Elohim, of the image of God that we have. Again, going back and forth, the Sefer Lefanav Na'avod, the author is Rav Ephraim Hordsham. It's a Sefer on Tefillah. And he says that he brings the Nefesh HaChaim, who explains that when we say Tzelem Elohim, we're in the image of God. Doesn't mean we look like God, because God doesn't look like anything. It means we have certain characteristics that are similar to God's characteristics. And what is that? It's the character. It's the ability to create and destroy. And Nefesh HaChaim talks at length about how a person has to realize the impact that his deeds and his words have in this world and in all the spiritual worlds above. Just like Hashem and like no other being, we have the ability to impact the world on a cosmic scale through our actions and through our deeds. That's the Tzelem Elohim. And the idea of dressing appropriately is to remind us of this special status that we have. It brings the Gemara, which says, Gemara in Brachos, this is now back to Rav Miller, brings the Gemara in Brachos that explains, we read at the end of David HaMelech's life, Saftorah Nek Shabbos, Saftorah for Chayisara, says that when David HaMelech was old and his clothes could not keep him warm. The Gemara explains that this was a punishment because when he was hiding in a cave he had cut off the corner of Shaul's garment. Shaul came into the cave to, King Shaul came into the cave to relieve himself. David was hiding in that cave, and he cut off the corner of King Shaul's garment, and then after Shaul left, David went out and called him, says, look, I have the corner of your garment. I could have had your neck, could have, you know, your throat if I had wanted to, but I have nothing against you, so why are you chasing me like this? Even though David did this for a good purpose, to save his life, to try to save his life, he's faulted for damaging Shaul's clothing. Some say that the reason was that by cutting off the corner, he made his tzitzis puzzle. So some learn that way. Rav Miller is learning very simply. Clothing represent the greatness of a human being. By damaging his clothing, even though it was for a good purpose, he lessened the image of the honor of a human being, or to say differently, it showed a lack of appreciation, that David HaMelech had a lack of appreciation of the greatness of a human being if he could damage another person's clothing. That's what Rav Miller seems to be saying, which tangentially touches on another concept which is very difficult to understand, but topic we've come across here before and come across many times. In Hashem's precise record keeping, the same action could be a mitzvah and an avera at the same time. So a simple example might be, we've talked about this before too, it's a personal challenge that I have, learning during Chazar Sashatz. At the same time, it's a mitzvah and an avera. So David HaMelech cutting off the corner of Shaul's garment, it was a mitzvah of saving his life, and it was an act to be condemned, that damaging someone's clothing, which lessens or shows a lack of sensitivity for a person's greatness. Rav Miller continues that the big day kahuna, or the garments of the Kohanim, are referred to as kavod and tiferet. Pasuk in Parshat Tetzaveh, v'asita big day kodesh daron achicha l'chavod u'tiferet. You should make clothes, holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for honor and glory. He says that based on the way we're understanding the purpose of clothing, it's very likely that the purpose of these clothing was to remind the Kohanim of their honor and glory, not that it's part of the image that you as a visitor to the Beis HaMikdash would get of seeing all these Kohanim in these fine garments, but rather for us, the Kohanim, is to remind us who we are and that we have a special calling. Because again, this is the outer trappings influence a person's feelings. The Gemara in Shabbos continues immediately after the Gemara that we read, which parallels our Gemara here, or almost parallels our Gemara here. Amar Rabbi Acha bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Acha bar Abba said, "Name Rabbi Yochanan, minayin l'shinui begadim min haTorah." Where do we find the idea of changing clothes in the Torah? That for different purposes you have different clothes. Shinemar ufashatet begadav lavash begadim achirim, because it says that after the Kohen takes out the Truma Sedeshin, every morning a Kohen would take out the garbage, so to speak, from the previous day, previous day's service, the ashes from the Mizbeach. I don't know if it's right to call it garbage, but take out the ashes from the previous day's service. And then he would change his clothing. V'tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, limedcha Torah derech eretz, begadim shebishel b'hem k'tira l'rabo, ayim zog b'hem kos rabo. Teaching you, derech eretz, that you don't wear the same clothing in the kitchen that you wear when you're waiting in the dining room, when you're serving in the dining room. So Rav Miller says, you see that every form of service of Hashem requires different clothing. We know on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would change his clothes multiple times. When he went into the Kodesh Kodashim, he would not wear the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. He would wear entirely white garments. And the purpose is that white is connected with humility. And when the Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh Kodashim, he had to be completely subdue his personality, go into his holiest place. The idea, Rav Miller says, is not that he's the same person wearing different clothing. He's a different person. If the clothing make the man, then the different clothing make a different man. And that's the idea that he should get out of it. And he says that's also the idea of wearing a yarmulke. The yarmulke is nothing more than a statement. I'm different. I'm not like all the people in the street around me. I'm a different kind of person. And that's he says, the idea of the yarmulke. So all of that from Rav Avigdor Miller, except when I said it wasn't. This sefer, Fanav Navod, it's a Musar sefer arranged according to davening. So this is on the bracha of Malbisha Ramim that we say every morning. We praise Hashem for giving us, for dressing those who have no clothing. Rabbi Lupiansky put together a sefer where he collected, we've shown him the very early commentaries on the Siddur, both well-known ones and more obscure ones, and arranged them according to the Siddur, called Tfila LaMoshe, Sar Perushei HaRishonim VaKadmonim. A Rishon called Rabbeinu Manoach says that this bracha of Malbisha Ramim is giving thanks to Hashem who has given us the understanding to make clothing. Rav Steinman, in his Sefer on Tefillah, notes that we have four brachos in this series. Pokeach Ivrim, Hashem opens the eyes of the blind. Malbisha Ramim, he dresses those who are undressed. Batir Asurim, he releases those who are imprisoned. And Zokef Kufufim, he straightens up those who are bent. So Steinman notes that three of them are things that we don't have the power to do. That a person, Hashem alone, can open up the eyes of the blind, can release those who are imprisoned. We could release someone who's in prison, but he can't release himself, at least not legally. So, and for a hunchback to straighten up, it's something that only Hashem could do. Whereas Malbish Arumim, to dress the unclothed, is something we do ourselves every day. So the question is, what is this that we're giving praise for? And without citing Rabbeinu Manoach, he says the same thing Rabbeinu Manoach says, that what a person should have in mind when he says this bracha is to give thanks that Hashem gave us the wisdom to dress ourselves, to recognize, to appreciate clothing, the need for clothing, and to dress ourselves. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yakar, who was the Rebbe of Ramban, he explains this bracha with reference to the pasuk that Hashem made clothing for Adam Rishon. And then he says that it's teaching us, it's reminding us to emulate Hashem. When the Gemara says that a person should emulate Hashem, one of the things it says is just as Hashem dresses the unclothed, we also should dress the unclothed by giving tzedakah and to those in need. And the Avud Raham, one of the major commentaries on the Siddur, also explains the same way. So the couple of different ideas to have when saying that bracha. The Gemara in Shabbos brings, where we find the idea of having special Shabbos clothes. It says, this is in Kofi Gimel and Aleph, there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, V'kivadato mi'asot drachecha, you should honor Shabbos from going in your regular way. Gemara says, excuse me, V'kivadato shlo yehei malbushcha shel Shabbat k'malbushcha shel chol. That the way you dress on Shabbos should not be the way you dress on a weekday. That's near the bottom of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. At the bottom of Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, going on to Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, Gemara says, as we read a few minutes ago, Where do we find the idea of changing clothes in the Torah? The Gemara does not there specifically say it's talking about Shabbos, the idea of that the Gemara is teaching us to change into Shabbos clothes. The Gemara, it doesn't have to be understood that way, but some Mefarshim, the Marsha and the Ben Yoyada, understand that the Gemara is asking, where do we find Shabbos clothes mentioned in the Torah, or hinted to, not mentioned, but hinted to in the Torah, just like the Kohen would change clothes after taking out the ashes, and that a person should not wear the same clothes in the kitchen that he wears when he's serving in the dining room. So similarly, a person should not wear the same clothes on Shabbos that he wears on a weekday. So Ben Yoyada asks a question, why do I need two sources for wearing Shabbos clothes? The Pasuk in Yeshaya that says you should honor Shabbos, which we darshan, you should honor by changing your clothes. And in light of Rabbi Yochanan's statement that his clothes are his honor, we see the connection between honor and clothes. So that's an allusion to changing clothes. And also the hint that the Gemara brings from the Torah, like the Kohen who changed his clothes. Why do I need both of them? So Ben Yoyada says that from the Pasuk in Yeshaya, I would know that wearing Shabbos clothes is divrei Kabbalah. The word Kabbalah is in this context is used to mean something learned from the Nevi'im. It's a tradition. It's learned from the Nevi'im. We have three levels of mitzvos, essentially. I mean, you could divide them into more levels, but there's divrei Torah, mitzvah from the Torah. There's divrei Kabbalah, mitzvah from the Nevi'im. And then there's a derabbanan, which is a mitzvah from the sages later than the Nevi'im. So wearing Shabbos clothes would be on the level of divrei Kabbalah. It's from the Nevi'im. Making kiddush is a mitzvah d'oraisa, but making kiddush over wine is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. Using wine for kiddush, just saying kiddush is a mitzvah d'oraisa, but the idea of having a cup of wine, that's d'rabbanan. So on the scale of mitzvos, where having Shabbos clothes would be level number two, and having wine for kiddush would be level number three. If a person, God forbid, doesn't have enough money for both, it would seem he should buy Shabbos clothes, not buy wine. We can't imagine such a thing, that a person would have to choose between clothing and a cup of wine, but if, God forbid, a person was on such a level, that's what he would have to do. However, Chazal find a hint in the Torah to using wine for kiddush. So now wine leapfrogs over clothing. It's not a d'oraisa, but since it's hinted to in the Torah, so it would come out that if a person only had enough money for one of them, he would buy wine and not have Shabbos clothes. So by finding a hint in the Torah for Shabbos clothes as well, now we've made them equal. The wine and the Shabbos clothes are equal, and if a person, God forbid, doesn't have enough money for both, he cannot resolve the conflict this way. He'll have to consult his local Orthodox rabbi and find some other way to resolve the conflict. Hopefully the rabbi will give him money for wine. Like the famous story about the woman who came to Yitzchak Chanan the Spector and asked if he could use milk for avokosos. So he took out a very large wad of money and gave it to her, said, go buy wine. So students asked, why do you give so much money? Wine doesn't cost that much. He said, if she's asking if she could use milk for avocado, she obviously doesn't have meat either. So gave her that much money. In any event,
buy clothes. You have the clothes. Buy the wine. Drink it.
That's fine. But if a person on a particular Erev Shabbos is faced with that question, again, we can't imagine that there are people who live in such straits. But unfortunately, there probably are. Another difference would be that do your Shabbos clothes have to be better than your weekday clothes or just different? A lot of people wear black suits all the time. I have several identical charcoal gray suits in different sizes, but they all fit me more or less. And I wear one on Shabbos and one to court. So do Shabbos clothes have to be different, better, or just different? So if you learn only from the pasuk in Yeshaya,
and is every garment from your socks to your
well, you have to have different quality socks, different quality tzitzis, right? Because ideally a person should change everything, even his socks and his yarmulke for Shabbos. I mean, even his tzitzis. Hopefully you're changing your socks. I meant even his tzitzis, even though they look exactly the same. Person ideally should have everything different for Shabbos if he can afford to. But do they have to be better or just different? So if you learn from the pasuk in Yeshaya that says, honor Shabbos, you would conclude that the Shabbos clothes have to be better than the weekly clothes. But from this other source that says that the Kohen should change his clothes after taking out the deshen, the ashes, he didn't change it to better clothes, he just changed into different clothes. They were the same big day kahuna. They were just different clothes. So from there, you would just learn that Shabbos clothes should be different than your weekday clothes, but not necessarily better than the Shabbos clothes. Not here to Paskin, and neither is he. He's just showing you the difference between whether you learn it from one source or a different source. There are different implications of it. Okay. Have a good day. And a good Shabbos.